Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Mesilla Valley Better Together. My name is Joey Hernandez. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether it's on any one of our stations, your country, 103.9 KGRT. Today's hottest music on 103, classic rock, 98.7, Southern New Mexico's classic rock station, and cool 104.5, The Rhythm of Cruces. We thank you so much for tuning in today, and we are excited to welcome into studio with us, joining us in the studio today, we always look forward to our good friend Bill from the Bureau of Land Management joining us. Good morning, sir. How's it going? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be back here behind the mic.
I always appreciate you stopping by, and especially with the amount of information that you bring us in. First of all, I've got to start off by saying January has been a busy year for you already.
It certainly has.
It really has. I mean, we are, 2 weeks into the new year, and just the amount of information that is coming out of the Bureau of Land Management and just a lot of the things to look forward to over the next couple of, I mean, I would even say 30 days, just as a lot of stuff that has happened. Thank you so much. I know last week you joined us and bringing us a ton of information, and I'm just excited for what we got going on today and what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a topic here that's coming up the end of January, January 31st and the 1st of February.
And see, that's why we say it's already been a busy year for you.
This is something that has not been in the Las Cruces area in over two decades.
Okay.
We are talking about the Wild Horse and Burro Program.
Okay.
So the Bureau of Land Management, we're going to hold a two-day Wild Horse and Burro event January 31st through the 1st of February at the Dona Ana County Fairgrounds. And this event will begin on Friday at January the 31st at 10 a.m. And we're going to feature about 100 animals for adoption.
Okay.
The adoptions are going to take place January 31st from noon to 6 and on Saturday from 8 to noon. And this is all part of the Wild Horse and Burro program. And I wanted to come and talk to your audience and let them know a little bit about the program.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that, because you're saying it hasn't been in this area. So just talk a little bit about this. I mean, looking at it, first of all, I love the flyer, because right away you look at it, you're like, okay, cool. But there's a lot to look forward to for this event when it comes up.
Certainly is. You know, in 1971, Congress passed what was known as the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act. And that is when the BLM created the Wild Horse and Burro Program. Broadly, the law declares that all wild horses and burros to be, you know, they're living symbols of our historic and pioneer spirit of the West. And it stipulates that the BLM, in conjunction with our partner, the United States Forest Service, we have a responsibility to manage and protect these herds in their respective jurisdictions. And because, you know, wild horses and burros have been roaming rampant for years throughout the West. And so you don't have natural population controls. You don't have predators. So the herds increase at a rate of almost 20% annually, almost doubling in size from 4 to 5 years. So if you don't manage it, because population control has to be implemented, and that's what we do here in the West. You know, it's very arid, and we want healthy animals. So, you know, some of the estimates, just to give your audience a number, you know, there's about 73,520 wild horses and burros roaming on public lands alone. Wow. And that's about three times the number that is safe and healthy for the land and the herds. So in some places, it's eight times higher than what's appropriate to manage. And so overgrazing, you know, when you have more animals, you know, it depletes the vegetation and it spreads invasive weeds that follow, and that's less nutritious for the animals to eat, not just the horses and burros, but the regular indigenous wildlife. And then, you know, when they deplete the vegetation and you're bringing these invasive weeds, it gets hotter, of course, you know, and you get more frequent wildfires as a result of it. So, you know, this is just a little background behind it. You know, today, the Bureau of Land Management, we protect and manage the wild horse and burros along with our other public resource values. We have 177 herd management areas, predominantly mostly in Nevada, and that spans across 26.9 million acres of public lands. So, you know, these are not holding pens. These are cantonment areas where we can bring in these unbranded and unclaimed free-roaming horses and burros that are on your public lands. And, you know, most of them are descendants of animals that were released and escaped from the Spanish explorers and ranchers and miners that came out west, you know, as well as the U.S. cavalry and even the Native Americans. So, you know, wild horses and burros, they're diverse animals, you know, and their coloring, they range from solid brown and black to pintos and palominos. Most wild horses stand about 13 to 15 hands. I had to read, I didn't know what a hand was in height, you know. So that's about 52 to 60 inches, and they weigh anywhere from 700 to 1,000 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Now, the burros, they stand about 44 inches or 11 hands high, and they weigh about 500 pounds. You know, at the BLM, you know, we're passionate, you know, about managing, protecting America's wild horses and burros and their habitat, because these are cherished icons of the American West. And, you know, the wild horses and burros, they embody freedom and pioneering spirit of our nation's past. So simply put, you know, these magnificent animals are a living testament to our history and heritage, and they deserve our respect and stewardship. And that's one of the reasons why we founded the program in 1971.
And then, of course, with this upcoming event that's going to be happening, too, this is just another way of showing our respect to those animals and to making sure that, you know, they're being taken care of. I never really thought about that. It's, you know, you mentioned about the amount and just the overgrowing, and you think about the weed population that which could eventually lead to, you know, wildfires that take place just because of just the overall layout. It's interesting, intriguing to me to know that type of effect that can have with the overpopulating of, you know, of these animals.
Yes, and that's, you know, since we launched this thing 5 years ago, you know, in 2019, you know, the wild horse and burro adoption program has really been a big thing for us. And, you know, we're going to have one here in Dona Ana County on January the 31st and through and February 1st. And, you know, you can actually, the minimum fee to adopt a burro or a horse is $125. And we also have it's kind of like an incentive type program, if you will. And this is an incentive program, and this has played a vital role in supporting our mission to manage these healthy herds. And through this incentive program, we're able to find loving homes for thousands of wild horses and burros and save taxpayers' money. Now, this helps alleviate the strain on the natural habitats and helps promote long-term healthy prosperity for our wildlife. And this program, what it is when you adopt an animal that is untamed, for example, and you keep that animal and for over a year, and then BLM will give you the title to that animal, and you will also be able to apply for $1,000 as a stipend for doing the adoption and providing a good home to this wild horse or burro.
Okay.
So, you know, since its launch, more than 17,000 wild horses and burros have been adopted through this incentive program alone. And, you know, we're helping to place these animals in new homes. And, you know, this incentive program has saved taxpayers approximately an estimated $250 million. You know, that could have been spent on providing lifetime care in, you know, corrals and pastures for these animals. So, you know, when people talk about the program, you know, these animals, they're adult and yearling horses, along with burros that once roamed free. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're wild, they're untamed, you know, and so what this what the requirements to adopt are: you have to be at least 18 years old, have no record of animal abuse. A qualified home must have a minimum of 400 square feet of corral space per animal with access to food, water, and shelter. A 6-foot corral fence is required for adult horses, 5 feet for yearlings, and 4.5 feet for burros. And all animals must be loaded in a covered stock-type trailer with a swing gate and sturdy walls. And there'll be BLM staff on hand there at the fairgrounds the day of the event to assist you with the application process. And even if you don't want to adopt one, just come on out and take a look at the program and help us spread the word, because, you know, this is a program that doesn't come too often here in our district.
And that was one thing that I'm glad you mentioned this, because I was wondering about the requirements as far as, you know, when it comes to adopting this. And I mean, obviously, what you laid out, the regulations, is, you know, having, you know, that protective, you know, fences and having those requirements that you would need for these animals. I mean, because you want to make sure that if they're going to a resident or if they're going to someone, that they have the proper needs for these animals. And I was curious as to that, of what was going to be the requirements for this. And also, what should those that are in, those that go out there, what should landowners or anybody interested have on hand with them when they go out there? So should they have, do they need to have, obviously, I mean, background check is one thing that you guys will be doing. But what are some other things, I guess, to make the process a little bit easier?
Well, to make the process really, really simple and to answer a lot of people's questions, because we get a lot of people who make Karen comments, you know, about the program. They don't really understand the actual facts behind the program, as well as we have general population that ask questions like you have. The website that we have developed has so many links on it that you can click on the history, facts, commonly asked questions, go to the process. They all open up into separate different pages. You can see videos. And it's blm.gov/ WHB.
Okay.
Just think Wild Horse Borough, WHB. That's blm.gov/ WHB. And these animals that we're going to, these 100 animals we're going to have for adoption, you can actually go on the Bureau of Land Management Wild Horse and Burro Facebook page and view the actual animals that are going to be available for adoption.
Okay, so you can, in a sense, do your homework before you go out there the day of the event to know what is going to be going on.
What you need to do to bring, what you need to do to adopt. More guidelines. There's actually forms you could download and have them pre-filled out before you arrive. You know, so if you have, if you're interested in animal number 101, you know, then you can, that's what you liked. You looked and saw them on Facebook and it's like, okay, I'm going to go get the paperwork ready for 101 and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to adopt that animal.
How amazing are we at a time where it's like, I'm going to go and look on Facebook to see.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know?
No, but I mean, that's great, because for those that will be going out there, I mean, and I know majority of people that will be going to this will want to do their homework ahead of time, but to knowing that if they can take the steps to make sure that the process is not only easy for you, but also easy for them. And that way they go in knowing that, okay, this is the animal that I'm interested in. If it is animal 101, 102, and I've done my background about this animal, and I know that I have the fitted requirements that you mentioned earlier to be able to accommodate this animal. And I mean, I think that's great. That gives them a step up as far as to know what they need to be doing. That website again, blm.gov/WHB. And we're going to make sure that we post that link as well. So that way, any other questions for anyone that's listening, that way they can make sure that they are pointed in the right direction so they can do their homework as we get there, because let's face it, January 31st will be here tomorrow. I mean, the way that our year has been going, right? So yeah, we got to make sure that
we're two weeks in already, and it just felt like New Year's was yesterday.
I know. Didn't I just tell you Happy New Year and Merry Christmas and all that stuff? And now here we are. I'll be telling you that again soon for the end of 2025. But this is great, and you said this is a big deal for Doniana County and for this area to have something like this for those. You know,
normally these auctions are in Nevada. Yeah. They're in Oklahoma, Upper West Texas. So, you know, this is very unique for us to get a adoption program event.
And I imagine, especially for a lot of, you know, the area that we cover as a radio station, we have those throughout many counties that definitely would be interested in something like this, especially if they are, you know, farm owners, land owner, they have land, they have the fitted requirements that you mentioned about. This is the perfect opportunity for something like that.
Certainly is. And so that's January the 31st. Through February the 1st at the Doniana County Fairgrounds.
All right. Make sure you guys go. Once again, the websites we will post, and, of course, any other information, you can follow the Bureau of Land Management on Facebook as well. That way you can get the upcoming information as that date quickly approaches, January 31st and February 1st. Anything else we have coming up? I know with this is a big deal that's going to be happening for us
of course, letting the community know about this event. We're definitely making sure that we let people know and keeping them informed. And that's one of the great things that I've always enjoyed about the BLM stopping by and joining us is letting people know, because we are a large community that enjoys our public lands. We enjoy our public lands. We frequent our public lands quite often. So I think this is perfect for those to know about what we have going on here in Doniana County and just all the areas that you cover. Bill, one of the things I think we got to let people know, I think, for, you know, now that we're started a new year, it's quite a bit of coverage that you, the BLM in this area covers as far as lands throughout Southern New Mexico, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the BLM, you know, BLM alone is 245 million,
yeah,
you know, acres of public land across 12 western states, including Alaska. Here in Las Cruces, we're 5.4 million acres.
Yeah.
Just in Las Cruces.
So,
you know, there's other districts. There's Albuquerque and there's Socorro. There's Pecos up north in Santa Fe. Those districts have even more. But just in our district alone, across six counties, is 5.4 million acres.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just, you know?
What else do we have coming up? What are some other things that we could be looking forward to as, you know, we have many things going on. By the way, one thing, and I know I kind of mentioned it quickly, but Facebook, you definitely want to make sure you add them on Facebook. If you have an account, if not, it's still free. But you always are adding information and updating us on things that are happening within our public lands around Doniana County and throughout Southern New Mexico.
That's one of the things I try to do exclusively. You know, this Saturday the 25th, of course, we're having a hike that's going to be through learning about the history of On Your Way in Dripping Springs, and it's open to all. It's going to be at 1 o'clock. Just show up there at the A.B. Cox Visitor Center at Dripping Springs, and you're going to get a plethora of knowledge, and probably the most history you'll ever hear about Dripping Springs, because our resident expert historian, he's archaeologist Garrett Leiterman. He's going to be leading this hike up through Dripping Springs. And if you've never been on one of Garrett's hikes, come on out and take one, because you're going to learn a lot about the history of the area and how things were and how they came to be, you know, and it's things you never even would think about. And probably you might even find some things that aren't even in the history books.
I mean, that's what they're there for. Yeah. That's what a hands-on, you know, adventure is what I would call it, to be out there and just enjoy and learn the history. So,
and, you know, speaking of Dripping Springs, well, on the other side of Dripping Springs, you know, we're putting out a call right now. We're looking for volunteer site hosts for Dripping Springs as well as Geary Springs. So, you know, the volunteer, we rely heavily on volunteers to run our recreation sites because, you know, the Geary Springs has 55 camping and picnics sites available on a first-come, first-served basis. You know, there's no water, electricity, or hookups available at the campground, but it's a picnic area, you know. We have water for the public at the host site, but we're looking for some people to volunteer to be site hosts.
Okay.
Now, this is a six-month position, and you have the opportunity to volunteer up to a year with the district. The primary duties of a site host at a Geary is you assist with fee compliance. You monitor the campground, recreation facilities, open and close the gates, perform light cleaning duties, and, you know, assist with the maintenance and educational programs of the area with our BLM Rangers. Plus, you know, when it snowed, you know, we got inclement weather. You know, Geary has such a winding road. The host site had to help get the word, and I helped get the word out that the roads were closed. We didn't want people going in there and having accidents. So, you know, come spend a season, you know, with the solitude and beauty of the Chihuahua Desert, because you can live on site as a site host there at the Geary Spring campground. And also, you know, the thing about the volunteers, you know, you're going to be reimbursed $27 a day,
okay,
for the primary host and $12 for a secondary host. And they're paid out once a month. It's not a stipend. It's just a little extra incentive that we give our site host once a month for volunteering their time. You know, there's the site host there at Geary has a fenced in yard there. There's a 30, 50 amp RV electrical system hookup, There's a large shaded pad for your RV, the water, sewage, washer, dryer, refrigerator, freezer, and pets are welcome, you know, with a prior approval. So just volunteer and come on out and stay and enjoy the beautiful Chihuahuan desert this year, you know. As well as we're also looking for volunteer site hosts for Three Rivers Petroglyph Site and Campground. You know, that's about a half-hour drive north of Tularoso. That's in the on the west side of the beautiful Sierra Blanca mountain range. And, you know, it's home to one of the largest concentrations of rock art or petroglyphs in the Southwest, over 20,000 different symbols and images that have been pecked into stone, you know, over the years, going back to the Horonata Mogollon people from 200 to 1400 A.D.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, we're looking for volunteers out there. That's a six-month position as well. And you're going to staff the visitor center, assist with fee compliance, monitor the trails. There's a place on site where you can bring your RV and park. It's a fenced-in yard, shaded pad for the RV, and, you know, all the amenities that go with it, as well as storage space that's there. And also at Three Rivers, we have a gift shop bookstore that, in cooperation with PLIA, at the Public Lands Information Association, they actually have set up a gift shop. So the volunteer hosts are kind of helping and assisting with that. And so, you know, we're always looking for volunteers. And what you need to do is go to volunteer.gov.
Okay.
It's pretty easy to understand, you know, volunteer.gov. We'll also have some links on our Facebook page later where you can actually click on the links and it'll take you directly to the page. But you can go to volunteer.gov, look under the category Recreation Services, New Mexico, and then you can find, you know, Geary Spring and Dripping Spring and also Three Rivers.
One of the things that I've noticed, even when looking up stuff with the BLM, such a great resource, and once again mentioning the Facebook page, especially when you're looking for resources within this area, to be able to go to your Facebook page and to see that information, and especially with the posting of these upcoming volunteer opportunities, that's perfect. So more than a reason for people to go and follow you guys today on Facebook. And if you have a Facebook account, if not, once again, can't stress this enough as well, it's free. I've even tried it myself on some of these computers. It's like, hold on. I know we say it, but I've never really tried on a computer that wasn't signed.
Let me Google this.
Let me try.
Bureau of Land Management, Las Cruces District, Facebook.
And just like that, you don't even, and you know what? Even on Google, you don't even have to complete the search. The minute you start to type Las, there it is, Las Cruces. And you're,
that dreaded AI is everywhere.
They know everything. Again, remember, you can learn more about this by following them on Facebook. And remember to visit any one of our websites. For any of the upcoming information that we talked about, we're going to make sure that we put those links as well on our websites for you to be able to connect, whether it's for the upcoming Wild Horse and Burro adoption, or for any of the volunteer positions. We're going to make sure that we put those links on there as well. Bill, thank you so much for joining us today, bringing us a ton of information. I mean, I tell you, you've done more work than some people have in an entire year, and you've done it in 2 weeks. So,
yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here and let the audience know.
We really appreciate it. And, of course, we look forward to many visits, especially after how the Wild Horse and Burro adoption event goes. I look forward to, you know, obviously talking recaps, some other stuff that you guys have coming up. I know this is just, we're just scratching the surface of 2025.
We sure are.
There's definitely a lot to look forward to, and we just appreciate you taking the time to join us and to inform the community, especially with, like I said earlier, as much as we love our public lands, it's always great to know and be in the know with what is going on with our public lands. So once again, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And for you out there, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to Mesilla Valley Better Together. We always appreciate when you tune in. And remember, you can always share this to your social medias, and you can also follow us on our social medias, as well as to our websites, kgrt.com, hot103.fm, theclassicrockstation.com, and 104.5coolfm.com. My name is Joey Hernandez for Mesilla Valley Better Together.